Lord, thank you for what you teach us, even in how you died. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old hymn whose chorus says of the gospel, beautiful words of life. Wonderful words of life. And over the last few weeks, we've been listening to the last words of Jesus, even as he hung dying on the cross. Truly, Jesus' dying words are beautiful words. They're wonderful words. They're wonderful words of life. We've been in a series called The Heart of the Cross. As Jesus speaks to us from the cross, today we'll be looking in Luke chapter 23 in just a minute, at verses 44 to 46. And Jesus' statement, in fact, his last of the seven words we find there is this: Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And what I want you to take home today, based on this statement from Jesus Christ, is this, and we're going to unpack it as we go through, is that the heart of the cross is that in your worst possible moment, you can trust your Father with your life. In your worst possible moment, you can trust your Father just like Jesus did with your life. Let's look at the Scripture. We're going to look at a couple different translations here this morning. First, the New Living Translation. Luke says the thing. He says, by this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. So there was a 3-hour time where the sun quit shining. It became almost as nighttime there for 3 hours. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly, this is at 3 o'clock now, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. Then from the Message translation, by now it was noon. The whole earth became dark, the darkness lasting 3 hours, a total blackout. The temple curtain split right down the middle. Jesus called loudly, Father. And I like the way Peterson puts this, translates this, I place my life in your hands. Then he breathed his last. And one more from the Contemporary English Version. Around noon, the sky turned dark and stayed that way until the middle of the afternoon. The sun stopped shining. The curtain in the temple split down the middle. Jesus shouted, Father, I put myself in your hands. Then he died. And you know, if we were to be expressing those same words to God today, that's probably just the most natural way that we would say it. Father, I put myself in your hands. The heart of the cross is that in your worst possible moment, you can trust the Father with your life. It's interesting to note here that Jesus, as he cries out this prayer to the Father, he's actually quoting a phrase from Psalm chapter 31. And if you look at Psalm 31, the first 5 verses, here's what the context that we find his quotation in. It says, O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me. This is a psalm of David, some 700-800 years before Christ. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be saved. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me. For I find protection in you alone. And then where Jesus quotes from, I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. One pastor says this of this quotation. He says, by quoting a portion of Psalm 31, Jesus not only entrusted his future to the Father, but also implied that he would be delivered and exonerated. He expected that deliverance that the psalmist prays for. No, God would not deliver him from death by crucifixion, but beyond this horrific death lay something marvelous. I entrust my spirit into your hands points forward to the resurrection. There was a hope in this prayer. Even the context from which he pulls this final prayer to God is full of hope and points forward to the resurrection. Yes, the heart of the cross is that in your worst possible moment, you can trust your Father with your life. A Bible scholar named William Barclay writes this of what we're looking at this morning. Jesus died with a prayer on his lips. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. As we've already seen, that Psalm 31, verse 5, with one word added, and it's significant. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And this is something I didn't know until I was studying for this message. That verse was the prayer that every Jewish mother would teach her child to say the last thing at night. Just as we were taught perhaps to say, now lay me down to sleep or something of the sort. So the Jewish mother taught her child to say before the threatening dark came down, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus made it even more intimate. For he began with the word Father, even as you heard it on the video at the beginning. Abba, Daddy, into your hands I commit my spirit. And even on the cross, even in his dying moments, we see Jesus dying like a child falling asleep in his Father's arms. Yes, Jesus in his final moments on this journey did not speak large words. Big lofty phrases. He didn't engage in some philosophical debate before he died. He uttered the words of the first prayer that he'd ever learned. That's what gave great comfort to his soul in his last moments. Yes, these last words were a testimony to what life's all about. He began life with God, and he completed his earthly journey with God. The heart of the cross is that for you, just like Jesus himself, in your worst possible moment, could there have been a worse moment in the life of Christ? You can trust your Father with your life. This is a good place for a reminder from Jesus himself about what was really happening in these last moments of his life. Make no mistake, Jesus was in control of the entire situation. Do you remember John chapter 10? Jesus said, the Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back again. Who's doing the action there? Who's giving his life?
Jesus.
And then he spells it out more clearly. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. No doubt the disciples didn't fully understand what he was saying when he said these things. They didn't grasp that he was actually going to the cross and there he was going to die. He would even choose the moment that he died, and then 3 days later he would take his life up again. He would be raised from the dead. They didn't grasp all that, but Jesus spelled it out. No one. It's not the Jews. It's not the Romans that take my life from me. Though they drive the nails and hang me there, though they're the ones that beat me half to death before I ever saw the cross, it's not them that take my life, it's me. I give my life, I sacrifice it voluntarily. I have that authority. Just like I lay it down, I'll take it up. Even as our text from last week showed us in John chapter 19, verse 30, with that, he bowed his head, and notice the language here, and gave up his spirit. From the Message, translated even, I like the way it goes even a little better, bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. That's just John 10 fulfilled. Jesus saying that he laid down his life, he laid it down. He says, Father, in your hands I commit my spirit. And the text says he breathed his last, he died.
Jesus is in complete control. So when we hear Jesus cry out, "Father, I place my life in your hands," he is voluntarily laying down his life for us. You see, he could have in that moment come off the cross. Up to that moment where he gave up his life and said, "Here I am, Father, I'm coming to you, this is it, I put my whole eternity, my whole, all of who I am, into your hands." He could have come off the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, as the song says. He was still the Son of God. He was sustaining the very breath of those people who had put him on the cross and who stood there mocking him. And yet, he voluntarily laid down his life. It's amazing. Look at our text one more time. Luke 23:44-46. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Just imagine that. High noon, it gets dark. I mean, if you were there, don't you think? I mean, wouldn't you start to figure out something crazy is going on here? And for 3 solid hours, it was like nighttime. The light of the sun was gone. Suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. The heart of the cross is that in your worst possible moment, you can trust your Father with your life. One preacher made these comments about what's going on here. In the great temple there in Jerusalem, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. It was the most inner place of the temple. This was the meeting place between a holy God and a sinful people. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And this curtain that's spoken of prevented unholy people from entering the holy house of God. Only one time a year could the high priest was even permitted to go in by Jewish law to this place. And he did so with awe and trembling to make the sacrifice for the sins of the people, that one day on the Jewish Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, he could go in. But you see, when Jesus cried out, just moments perhaps before these last words, "It is finished," this curtain was no longer necessary. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished, the price is paid," this curtain was no longer needed. Jesus Christ would now be our only mediator, our great high priest between God and His people. And so that temple curtain, the Bible says it's split right down the middle. And if you ever watched The Passion of the Christ, it depicts that. And by the way, that was no bed sheet that was torn in two. And for any of you carpenters, that was no Luan wall that was broken through. It was a huge woven curtain, inches thick. I mean, it really was amazing the way it was made. You can go to the Old Testament and find it. No man could rip it. It was that kind of thick fabric, depicting the need for separation between the holy God and sinful people. And yet when Christ stretched on the cross, said, "It is finished," that curtain, God, because of Christ, ripped that curtain, threw the doors open so that we now have free access, according to the book of Hebrews, into the very Holy of Holies. In other words, when you and I commune with God, when we come to the table a little bit later on and we meet with God, it's not through some curtain. His presence is no longer veiled. In Christ, we behold Him face to face. We're ushered in an amazing way into the presence of the living God. We can now go into the Holy of Holies because of Christ. And we really can't understand how amazing that is, because we didn't live during that day. We didn't grow up watching only the high priest just once a year go in. But those pictures teach us the holiness of God. And the fact, listen to me, the fact not that the holiness of God has been diminished, but rather it has been met in the righteousness and perfection of Christ's sacrifice for us. And because of Christ, we go in as if we were as holy as Christ Himself. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "It is finished." Now, with that part of the journey completed, Jesus was ready to go home. "Father, into Your hands I entrust my spirit." Max Lucado captures this moment as good as anybody when he says, "The voice that screamed at God, 'My God, my God, why have You forsaken me?' now says, 'Father.' The two are again one. The abandon is now found. The schism is now bridged. Father, it's over. Satan's vultures have been scattered. Hell's demons have been jailed. Death has been damned. It's over. Take me home. Yes, take him home. Take this prince to his king. Take this son to his father. Take this pilgrim to his home. He deserves a rest. Take me home." The heart of the cross is that in your worst possible moment, you, just like Christ, can trust your Father with your life. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, not a whisper, not a whimper, for all to hear His declaration, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." And in that prayer that makes up the seventh and last word of the cross, we see that it's a prayer of communion with God. It's a prayer of confidence in the power of God. And finally, it's a prayer of commitment. Jesus entrusting God to prosper the work that He had done on the cross. He deposits His soul, His love, His life with the Father. The heart of the cross is that in our worst possible moment, we can trust our Father with our lives. The question this morning is, will we? Do we? Maybe you're in that, so far, worst moment right now. Are you? Can you make that prayer yours that Jesus prayed there on the cross? "Father, I put my life in Your hands." Jesus calls us to look again at how much we truly do trust in God's plan for our lives. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23, the Scripture says this. Tells us what our responsibility as followers of Jesus is. "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you." Did Jesus ever do anything bad? No. He always did good. He always obeyed the Father. And what did it bring into His life? Blessing and reward and pleasantries? No. Suffering. Even what we've seen, the cross. He is your example, and you must follow in His steps. Peter's saying, look, just like Jesus suffered for you, God's called you to obey like Christ did, but no, it's going to mean suffering. But you've got to follow His steps. And then it describes Jesus. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when He was insulted, nor threaten revenge when He suffered. He left His case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. And that's what we hear in the words, "Father, I place my life in Your hands. Into Your hands I commit my spirit." He left His case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. It wasn't just in that last moment when He spoke those words that He did that. All throughout His life, He never retaliated. He never threatened revenge. Who can beat the Son of God within inches of His life and live unless Jesus says they can live? Amen? I mean, Jesus could have just, in a breath, obliterated the Roman soldiers who beat Him. But He didn't retaliate. They spit in His face. He said nothing. Didn't threaten revenge when He suffered. And if you missed, I hope you haven't missed the point. The whole point of Peter here is, and so should we live our lives in similar situations, not similar in the same way, but situations where we're so prone to retaliate, situations when we're insulted, situations when we suffer. How many of you have ever been insulted? How many of you have been insulted lately? How many of you have ever been done wrong? How many of you have ever been done wrong lately? Without going into any detail, let me tell you, I've been wrong done. Oh, I can't talk. I've been kind of tore up about the deal, actually. I've been done wrong lately. Lately. I'm not going to tell the story, but suffice it to say, a wrong was done, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to retaliate? Let me tell you, I thought long and hard about the different ways I could respond. I mean, this thing could have gone legal even, okay? I mean, it's that kind of a deal. And money is involved. Are y'all with me? I mean, am I getting to your heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, it got to mine. And I talked to my... Well, no, I didn't talk to my mama till last. Don't ever talk to my mama unless you really want to know what y'all do. And so I did. But I talked to some of you. Bless your hearts, you tried, you felt my pain. I talked to some good friends. At one point, unwittingly, I didn't mean to, but I was actually talking to an attorney, and this scenario was explained. I learned about other alternatives that I had that I didn't know about. Thinking, great day. Hey, you know what? I might could get some money back out of this deal. And it wasn't these words, though, as I began to study, it was all this came to my mind, and Jesus on the cross said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I put my life in your hands." It was actually something we looked at a few months ago from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, "If someone takes your coat, give them your tunic also." Now, I'm sorry, I just couldn't shake it. And let me tell you, I tried. Me and Jesus talked a lot. Look, that can't apply here, right? Jesus, it don't apply, right? He never said anything out loud, but it was obvious that it did. If you... And by the way, that's not the worst moment in my life. It was just kind of a bad time. But if we get serious about applying this, if we get serious about, even in our worst moments, trusting our life to our Father, it means that kind of practical step. Is that practical enough for you this morning? Does that help make this thing concrete? Does it put it down where you can act on it in life? Whatever it is you're facing this morning, Jesus left this case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He said, "Father, I put my life in your hands. You handle this huge injustice that's been done. God, you, as I give my life literally up, you take me and vindicate my call." And Easter Sunday morning, he did. You see, Jesus could simply obey God because even in his worst moment, he trusted his Father to work it all out in the end, and we can do the same. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 is a verse we go to a lot and sometimes we really misuse this verse. God says, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future, to give you the future you hope for." You know, we go to that verse and sometimes we take that and when we're having a bad day, or in one of those could-be worst moments of our lives, and we say, "I've got this hope." And we use this verse to say, "God's going to bring me out of this mess." Let me just ask you, how does that work out for you sometimes? Does He bring you out of it? Does He fix it? Does this verse mean that our worst moments will always turn around and become our best moments? No. That we will have that future 3 days from now, 4 days from now, maybe just an hour from now is kind of where I'm at most of the time. I don't even want to go a day. You, the future that I hope for. Does this mean that tragedy will always, in this life, be made right and that there will be ease and prosperity for us as Christians? No, 1,000 times no. Hundreds of verses in the Scriptures in the New Testament that tell us no. What does it mean? This verse means that God will ultimately bring about our good and give us an eternal future. That is all we could ever hope for in this life and so much more. Jesus obeyed God. He suffered for it and He died for it. For Jesus, Easter morning, resurrection from the dead was the outcome. And yes, it was only 3 days later for Him. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. The verdict from God, the outcome from Jesus putting His life in the Father's hands was resurrection that Sunday morning. And because of that, for you and me, the ultimate outcome will also be resurrection to eternal life. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Who are they? That's me. That's you if you know Christ. I like the way the Message puts that. A long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. When Jesus comes back, that's what's going to happen. But more on that next Sunday. The heart of the cross is that in your worst possible moment, you can trust your Father with your life. You can pray, Father, I put my life in your hands. This morning as we come to the Lord's table, I want you to take Jesus' prayer and make it your own. Father, I put my life in your hands. I give you all that I am in this moment, be it a good time or be it the worst of times. Make it your prayer of communion with God. Make it your prayer of confidence in the power of God. Make it your prayer of commitment to God. Giving Him your life. Do with me what you want to do, God. I put my life in your hands. Let's pray. Lord, what a gift you've given us in the Scriptures by recording for us Jesus' last words. Father, I pray that you'd change our lives by them today. And I pray, Father, that as we come to the Lord's Supper right now, that we pray those words. Father, maybe we've never taken Jesus' prayer and made it our own. God, each person in this room is in a different situation, different circumstance, a different place in life. And God, I pray that wherever we are, in the intimacy of your children, we say, Father, I put my life, wherever it's at, whatever the circumstances, in your hands. And I trust your plan to be the best, to be for your glory. Knowing, Father, that ultimately, maybe never in this life, but ultimately, in a way that will be better than anything we could ever want or have in this life, you will raise us to an eternity with you. And you'll show us glory unknown. And we'll live with you face to face forever. Lord, as we come to the table, I pray, Lord, you'd prepare our hearts. Pray we'd heed, Lord, the warning of Scripture. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on Him at His death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives, Paul tells us. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. Lord, may we come in a way that shows the beauty and value of the cross. May we come with hearts full of faith, simple, childlike trust that Jesus paid it all. And as we come, may we come in that same simple trust that we, even in our worst moment, can trust our Father with our life. Lord, bring glory to Your name. In our lives. And may Christ be exalted as we come to the table. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." Come to the table this morning.